Genesis chapter 9 tonight. Genesis chapter 9. I want to read verses 18 and 19 and take a look at something this evening that I believe supports a young earth position and a literal interpretation of the first part of the book of Genesis. Genesis 9, verse 18, it says, "And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, and Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread." Last week, I entitled my message, "Why Did They Lie?" And we looked at how many of the reported missing links were nothing more than hoaxes or blatant inaccuracies on the part of evolutionary scientists. We talked about Piltdown Man, who was reported as a missing link and was reported as such for nearly 40 years, included in encyclopedias and public school textbooks, only to discover 40 years later that this was nothing more than a hoax. It was a human skull and a monkey's jawbone that were filed down and put together, even chemically altered to make it look as though it was more aged than it really was. We talked about Java 8 Man, and again, this was reported as a missing link, a link between monkey and man, and yet scientists really weren't able to examine these particular bones for nearly 35 years. And after the scientific community finally demanded, you know, to see these particular bones, there was no unanimous consent, but over half of the scientists said that the bones were nothing more than the bones of an ape. And even the particular individual who found these bones had to admit later on that these bones were nothing more than a small monkey. A Nebraska man was given as evidence at the Scopes trial. It was discovered in 1912, Nebraska man was, and deemed a missing link, but yet determined a few years later to be nothing more than a pig's tooth. And then Lucy is perhaps one of the more recent finds that is reported as a missing link, but scientists also now seem to concur that this is not a link, a missing link between monkey and man, but it's nothing more than a small chimpanzee or monkey. And you have to forgive me, I don't really know the differences off the top of my head between a chimpanzee and a monkey and an ape. I know there's differences, but I don't know what those differences are, so if I use the incorrect term, I do apologize. And tonight what I want to look at then is a simple topic, and that is the topic of population. Population. Because I believe if you look at the population of the earth, it is an evidence for both a young earth position, and again, those like myself that believe in a young earth position are under the impression that the earth is less than 10,000 years old. And I would say somewhere between 6 and 7,000 years old. And this is based on the chronologies that we find in the scriptures. There are some who like to suggest that these chronologies are not complete. They're not exhaustive. And sometimes they point out how one particular name is missing from one chronology but is found in another. Well, if it's found in another, that leads me to conclude that there's not gaps, because even if there's a gap in this one, God has supplied the needed information in the other. And even if there are a couple of individuals missing from a couple of the chronologies, still we can get a very rough estimate as to how old the earth is by looking extensively at these chronologies. And I tend to follow Usher's chronology and dating, and he is again a theologian of the past who went through the chronologies and came up with a time frame for creation, the flood, and the events that followed. But not only when we look at the earth's population do we see support for a young earth position, but we also come away with a greater degree of confidence in simply taking the first chapters of the book of Genesis literally. And honestly, this is one of the main reasons I'm doing this particular study, preaching this series of messages on creation versus evolution, because the evolutionary theory strikes at the core, at the foundations of our belief system. Because if man evolved from a single cell organism in the past, then the Bible is pointless and meaningless. I know there are those who try to take the evolutionary model and fit it within the framework of the Bible, but it simply does not fit. The reason Jesus Christ came into the world is because of what transpired in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve sinned, and it was only after they sinned that death entered into the world. It was the consequence of sin. And Jesus came then to meet man's need, because all of us were doomed for an eternity outside of the presence of God in the lake of fire if God did not send His Son to die for our sins. And so again, the book of Genesis explains to us where we came from, but also why it was necessary that Jesus come into the earth and to die for our sins. So again, this is a very important topic for Bible-believing people. And I'm afraid that the scientific community in large has fed us a bunch of lies over the last few generations. And people have bought into it because they don't want to be accountable to God, and they want to live their life however they want to live it without anybody passing judgment upon them at all. And regardless of whether or not what they're being told is true or not, that's not important to most people. What's important to most people is what someone telling me, allowing me to go and live my life however I want. Well, if that's the case, then I'm all for it. That's how most people think. But quite frankly, I would rather know the truth than for someone to tell me a lie that fits better with my way of thinking. So let's look tonight at this subject of population. Notice here in our text, it tells us that the three sons of Noah were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And by the way, verse 19 tells us that by these three sons, the three sons of Noah, the whole earth was overspread. In other words, every one of us came from one of these three sons. Now, you may have heard me reference these three sons in the past, but from Ham comes the African peoples and nations. From Shem comes those Middle Eastern nations, like the Jewish nation. And then from Japheth, we have the European people. Matter of fact, there's a prophecy, as some see it, in this chapter in verse number 27. This really doesn't have much to do with our subject, but again, it helps us to understand human history. But here it says, God shall enlarge Japheth. Not his number necessarily, but his dominion, authority, power, and influence. And what group of people is it that has the power and the influence and the money in the world today? It's the descendants of Japheth, the European nations, like America and Europe. And it says, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. Perhaps this is a reference to the fact that Christianity came from the Jewish nation. It's one of the same. And that's why America traditionally has been a friend of Israel, because Christians are friends of Israel, because we see them as our spiritual forefathers. And then it's saying, and Canaan shall be his servant. Now, this please understand, this verse has been twisted, I believe, in the past to support the idea of slavery. And I think that that is an injustice to the scriptures and to people in general. But we do see that that has what has happened in the past and to some degree at the very present. That Canaan has become the servant of Japheth. But again, it simply says here in our text that through the three sons of Noah, the whole earth was populated. Most of you probably are aware of the liberal view of population, and I'm not simply just talking about theological liberals. I'm talking about political liberals, but most of the time, they're one of the same. And political and theological liberals, and more so political liberals, even support measures similar to China's one-child policy. Most of you are, again, probably aware that in China, they don't mandate and force people in every case to have only one child, but it's strongly recommended. And when someone many times goes outside of the state's wishes and they have a second child, they lose all their financial benefits. It would be similar to here in America, if you have two children, then you're going to lose certain tax exemptions that you could have had you only had one child. And I can't remember all the particular details, but I have read and watched accounts of couples in China who have a second child, and even though this creates a huge burden upon them financially, they do it nonetheless. I've also heard of incidents that the state is not simply content when people sometimes decide to do this and they force abortions on people. Now again, I like to think that those stories have to be somewhat exaggerated or made up, but perhaps not. When you're living in a country of 1 billion people and they view population growth as a hindrance to their economic status. But again, liberals believe the world is overpopulated. And this is why they support measures like China's one-child policy that would, in their minds, bring the population under control. Abortion and euthanasia are acceptable practices by liberals because of their view of overpopulation. Many of these children, in their minds, are simply going to be on the welfare rolls anyway. So why not have them aborted? Old people are a strain on the medical system. So why not just euthanize them? It's a nice way of saying, put them to death. Let them die. Liberals caution against the spread of urbanization. Matter of fact, they'd have us all to live in great big cities where we use mass transit and no automobiles. And then we could leave the great outdoors to Mother Nature and her creatures. That's what they'd say. They lament concrete highways and the destruction of what they label delicate ecosystems of the earth. You know, you can lay 4 or 6 inches of concrete out here in the churchyard if you wanted. And if you went out there in a couple of years and looked at that concrete, there'd probably be a little blade of grass poking up through the middle of it. Grass here is not very delicate, is it? But as always, I don't think that the liberals' view is based on truth. I think this is simply another spiritual battle of world views. Because biblically, children are a blessing. They're always seen as a blessing. And not something to detour or stay clear of. Biblically, abortion and euthanasia are both murder, not a sufficient means to control population. Biblically, urbanization was God's goal. And by that I mean for man to overspread the whole earth. Because you'll recall what happened in Genesis chapter 11. They all congregated together at the Tower of Babel. Let us build us a tower up into the heavens, up into God. And God said, boy, nothing will be constrained from them if I just let them go. And they're not doing as I commanded. And so what did he do? He confused their tongues to where they could not understand one another. And so then, smaller groups of people would go off and inhabit other parts of the earth. Biblically, the earth is for man, and he is to have dominion over it. Man was not made for the earth. The earth was made for man. We're not abusing its resources. We're using its resources. Undoubtedly, there are those who would be greedy and seek to make a quick buck at the expense of all the rest of us and even the world in which we live. But I got to believe certainly they're not the majority. I'm reminded of what Lisa Miller said when they went, I can't remember if it was to the zoo or somewhere else, but the girls were there talking with the lady about the polar bears. And the lady, you know, people who work at the zoo, they kind of have a liberal mindset. And they're like, you know, what are we going to do to save the polar bears? And Miss Lisa Miller, she said she thought later, well, what they could do to save the polar bears, you know, is to market their meat. I wish she would have told the lady that just to get her response. But you understand what she was saying, if you market the meat, then capitalists, those that are seeking to make money off of the polar bear meat, are going to ensure that there's always polar bears. After all, do you think we're ever going to run out of fried chicken? Not as long as there's a KFC around. You know why? Because they're going to continue to breed those chickens so that they have a steady source of income. Now, mankind has been stupid in the past sometimes. And from what they tell me, at least, again, liberals may be lying, as they do. You know, we just go out, people go out and they kill the willy mammoth and just take his little tusks and make some ivory things out of it and leave the rest of him to rot. I mean, that's the picture they paint. Now, whether or not that's true, I don't know. I'm getting a little skeptical in my old age of liberals and what they report as the truth. There may be some instances of that. But certainly, people with a brain in their heads realize that's not a very wise practice. You see, the natural man is naturally rebellious against God, and he hates anything that comes from the Bible. If children are a blessing, then you know what? The natural man is, you know what? Children are bad. If it's God's will that we go out and we live out on farms, all of us, then the natural man, he's against it. We need to all congregate into the big cities. How populated is the earth? Are we overpopulated? The 2001 census said that there's approximately 6 billion people in the world. 15-plus years ago, I watched some of Kent Hovind's original videos on creation and evolution. And in those videos, he made the statement that you could take the entire population of the world and fit them comfortably, that is, side by side, okay, with ability to move your arms, in the city of Jacksonville, Florida. You could take all 6 billion people and fit them in one city in the United States. Now, it doesn't mean we could survive well that way. But recently, in watching a video that was produced by Fourth Day Alliance, an astronomy group, and by the way, today on the radio I was listening to a creation type thing, and they were talking about the difference between astronomy and astrology. They said they used to be one of the same until about 4 centuries ago they split off. Astrology is the belief that you can tell the future by the stars and the constellations. It's really a form of paganism. But astronomy is, you know, studying those stars, galaxies, and planets and how they work and the such like. But Fourth Day Alliance is a group of astronomers that study the stars for the glory of God. And they said that you could, if the take 6 billion people, and if the average family was 4 people, so 2 parents and 2 children, he said you could give each family a nearly 5,000 square foot house, and that's a big house, folks. That's a mansion. And every house would fit in the state of Texas alone. Just in the state of Texas. You could take the world's population and put them all in a mansion in the state of Texas. Now, I don't mean to oversimplify this subject. I understand some people have concerns about how many people the earth can actually sustain, you know, because just putting people in a mansion in Texas doesn't mean, you know, there's going to be enough food, but it doesn't mean there's not going to be enough food either. Some evolutionists have suggested that the preferred population of the earth is 2 billion people. Well, we have a lot more than that. But some others have stated that the earth can sustain 50 billion people, could sustain enough food. Now again, I don't know how they base those calculations. I'd have to look that information up. But it would appear to me that the earth is not nearly as crowded as some people want us to believe. And by the way, to this group of people who are for controlling population, I have a question for them, and that is, to what extent are they willing to go to control population? If they believe it is a threat to civilization, just like they think global warming is, and therefore seek to shut down coal plants and cause us to have to buy cars that are more expensive, etc., etc., to what extent are they willing to go to control population? Are they willing to limit me and the number of children that I can have? Are they going to take that right and that liberty from me? If they could, don't think that they wouldn't. If they do in China, they would anywhere else that they could gain power. They would do whatever they could to limit the number of children people could have. How does then the population of the earth support a young earth position and a literal view of Genesis? Well, simply put, and again, I'm probably taking a complex thing and making it oversimple, but really that's my intent. I want to take something that's very complex and try to make it simple so that you can understand it. Tom was nice enough to give me a book that he has by Henry Morris on modern science. And in his book, he has 2 chapters dedicated to population, and he has a formula that he uses to determine population under certain circumstances. It's an algebraic formula where you put in, you know, C and N and B, and when you plug in those informations, you can, you know, tell certain things, you know, about what the population would be under certain factors. Now, again, I don't want to put a great big algebraic formula up here for you to look at and contemplate. I simply want to ask the question, how long would it take for the earth to go from 2 people to 6 billion people, which was, again, the 2001 census? Well, if, and again, there's so much to consider here, but I want to make this simple. If the average family has 2.5 children, You know, again, because if the average family had two children, then population would stay consistent. You would just, the population will remain what it is because each set of parents has two children. But if each family had 2.5 children, and again, we'll look here in a moment at what the average population growth is, and this is not way out of whack, but if the average family had 2.5 children and the average generation was calculated to be 43 years. And by the way, both of those are very conservative estimates. Because most people would say that a generation is 30, perhaps 35 years. But if this was the case, 2.5 children per family, the average generation was 43 years, you would go from two people to 6 billion people in approximately 4,400 years. Which is how much time has elapsed since the flood of Noah. Now again, if you were to bring this up in a simplistic way like I am, those that had a critical mind would ask questions like, well, yeah, but what about wars? What about pestilences? What about apartheidism? What about, you know, all these other things that could have happened? You know, what about these things where the life expectancy would have been dropped? What about the infant mortality rate? What if it was higher back then? You know, what about all of these things? Wouldn't these things kind of bring the averages down? Well, we only know of all the information we know about population growth is from the last 2,000 years. Because we can see in the Bible there was a census taken by Rome at the time of Jesus. And by the way, most historians and genealogists report that there was about 200 million people at the time of Christ. And so we know what the population was then. We know what it is now. And therefore, we can, at least in modern history, determine what the average population growth is. If you just take the nation of Israel, we understand that in Egypt, there were 70 people. 70 people there that came with Jacob into Egypt. We know what their population is today. It's about 14 million people. And so if you fill in all the averages, this is an average of 2.4 children per family with, again, 43-year generations. And so if you take those estimates, 2.4 children per family, 43-year generations, this would produce 13,900,000 people from 70 in the allotted time. And again, the people of Israel, they went through wars. They went through times where people sought to extinct them as a nation, like in Nazi Germany. And yet, these calculations suggest that population grows consistent with the formula used to go from 2 people to 6 billion people in 4,400 years. Does it mean that those rates have been constant the 2,500 years prior? It doesn't mean that they've been constant, but it's very likely that they were. This is what Henry Morris said about these things in his book. He said, "What about the possibility that the great plagues and wars of the past may have served to keep the population from growing at the indicated rates? Could the population have remained static for long ages and only in modern times have started to expand?" He says, "We are unable to answer these questions dogmatically, of course, since population data is not available for earlier times. We can only say that all that we know about population growth is based on the data from the last two centuries. There are no reliable census figures, except for in modern times. If the Earth's population started with two people just 4,300 years ago, it would have increased at the rate of 0.5% each year in order to reach its present population. This is significantly less than the present known rate of population growth. Okay? This is less. And again, what does all that mean? It means that like in the polls, when they use polls, there's a margin of error. There's a margin of error in there, yes. But the margin of error can take into account those periods of time where growth, population growth, may not have grown exponentially or may not have increased at all. If you take what evolutionists say, they say that man came on the scene 1 million years ago. If man came on the scene 1 million years ago and population growth during that whole time is constant to what it is today, 0.5%, do you know how many people the world would have? It would have 10 to the 5,000th power people. You know how many people that is? It's a 1 with 5,000 zeros. I don't even know how many people that is. Trillions and trillions and trillions. I suggest to you that when you take the evidence that we see and you apply it to both the creation theory and the evolutionary theory, the evidence does not fit the evolutionary theory. Instead, it fits perfectly with the creation account in the book of Genesis. 200 million people at the time of Christ, 6 billion people now. How would you get there? 2.75 children per family, 40-year generations, and we would have our present population. What I'm suggesting to you is that population supports a young earth position. Had mankind been around for 1 million years, where's all those dead bodies? Where did they bury them all? Because there would have been trillions and trillions of people. But that's not what we see. I tell you, if scientists would take their energies and efforts and apply them to the theories that are based on the truths of the Word of God, I think we'd find a whole lot more evidence out there that tells us our Bibles can be trusted. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. And Lord, thank you for the evidences that, Lord, support the truths of the Word of God. Lord, we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Lord, we do not meet with your approval other than by our faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ and what you have told us in your Word. But Lord, it is certainly encouraging to find things that support what the Bible says, especially, Lord, when we're living in a world that is very hostile towards Bible-believing Christianity. And Lord, may this be one subject that we have at least a small grasp on, that we could use as a tool to evangelize and witness to others in explaining to them that the Bible can be trusted, that confidence can be placed in it, because you have given it to us. So Lord, take the things that I've said tonight and use them for thy glory. Use them for the benefit of thy people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.